Hey, Scope, podcast 169, Billy Reeves here, your host. I trust you're well. Thanks for being at the other end. My very special guest, the Tiggerish surrealist Nick Beggs, bass player, singer-songwriter, Chapman stick virtuoso, a pop star as a young man with Kajagoogoo, a career which has led to him working with some huge names such as John Paul Jones, Gary Numan, Belinda Carlisle, Seal, Tina Turner and so forth. More recently, of course, known for his work with Mr. Stephen Wilson, both in the studio and associated tours, alongside Mr. Adam Holtzman and Craig Blundell. And the three of them have a band. They're called Trifecta, and their new album is out right now. It's called The New Normal. During our chat, you'll hear some interesting insights into how some of the songs came to life, including how Alex Lifeson of Rush made an appearance on one of the singles, the latest one. Also a little bit about the dynamic of the band and, most importantly, what Nick's other half really thinks about his music. Before we start the chat, let's hear a song from Trifecta's new album. This is Stupid Pop Song. A stupid pop song in front of me on a screen now, Nick Beggs. My theory is that there is, in every band, there is an Eeyore, a Tigger, and a Pooh. And I think in trifecta, as there's three people, who it's perfect. Who is the Eeyore? Who is the Tigger? And who is the Pooh?
I love that. That's really good. Well, I'm definitely the Tigger because I can't stop bouncing up and down. Adam is the Eeyore, and I'd say that Craig is the Pooh. You've nailed us.
Yeah, I think so. Well, I think it's easier if it's a trio, I think, because everybody has to take on those responsibilities of being the Tigger, the Eeyore and the Pooh. What are the pressures of being the Tigger?
Wow, I like this. I hadn't even thought of that before, which is being
unrolled.
It's
Confucian. It's Confucian.
Confucian. I love Confucian.
It's Confucian. There are a certain amount of pressures, I think, being the Tigger.
Well, there is for my wife. I mean, she'll tell you, and I am. I had all the sunny delight. That's the problem. And all the smarties. It's in my nature to be creative, and I've tried to teach that to my daughters, that if you get bored, because that's when you'll come up with ideas. When they were kids, they'd say, I'm bored, and I'd say, good, now go and do something with that time, because when you're bored, you'll create. Well, it's being a producer, isn't it?
Well, I think it's also I also think it's possibly the pressures are that you're responsible for morale.
That remains to be seen in many respects, because we haven't really spent much time together as trifecta. It's all been remote, you see, of course. But I tend to be the one who is herding everyone in a direction. Everybody in a band brings something different to the table. It's either dysfunctionality or functionality, and both are equally important. Because while one is falling apart, the other one can be picking up the pieces.
Yeah, that's a good point. Because I do wonder if the Eeyore of the band, the House of Lords of the band, often has more power in that they don't say so much. So when they do say something, it has more power.
Well, I think that Adam has the strongest musical voice within the band. I think that's my opinion. He's the instrumental whiz. He is the guy that kind of set the agenda sonically.
And he's leading the melody as well, of course, isn't he?
Yes. Then when it comes to the song side of things, I'm the songwriter, so I'll be finding the top lines and the lyrics, and I'm trying to give it some narrative. And the funny thing with this album was, When we sent it into K-Scope, I thought they'd reject it because it's a double album and of all the weird spoken word shit. And they came back and they said, that's the stuff that makes it work for us. I was really surprised because I thought that actually it stood on its own merits. I thought we could pare this down to a single album and take out all the spoken word weirdness and still have something which I think would be good for the fan base. But they wanted to go with the whole thing, so...
No, I'm really glad to hear that, because actually some of the spoken word stuff isn't the weirdest thing about this record, Nick.
OK, what's the weirdest thing in your mind's ear?
It's probably the time signatures, obviously, is the most obvious thing. And the fact that you're trying to... You might remember we discussed with Fragments. What I loved about Fragments is it reminded me a lot of... children's TV incidental music from my youth, from the 70s. There was a certain amount of that. I mean, obviously things were slightly shorter and there was a certain KPM about it. Whereas this is, I guess if I was a reviewer, I would call it, you know, genre jumping or something like that. But it just seems to me this one's a lot bolder. It's a lot more arrogant, perhaps.
I like that. A little strident.
and funky, and also, of course, I remember one of my favourite things that we've ever done on the podcast was saying that partly your influence and what put the wheels underneath you to do Trifecta in the first place is that it was annoying Stephen's crew.
It really was, and of course now it annoys my wife because she says it's and still maintains it's the worst music she's ever heard in her life.
Well, and to quote you, she's an 80s kid.
She is an 80s kid.
An 80s gal.
She is. Yeah, she's an 80s gal. And she says it's when she listens to Trifecta, which she tries to avoid, she says it sounds like we've all forgotten how to play our instruments.
That's brilliant.
Oh,
that's,
man.
In a way, there's a certain battle. You know, you are fighting each other a lot of the time. And again, I guess that's a non-Tiggerish role for you as the bottom end.
Well, I'm not just the bottom end, obviously, because I'm playing a lot of guitar stuff and singing, and I'm playing keys as well. So, I mean, I know it's the top end of the Chapman stick often sounds like guitar, or in some cases is meant to sound like synth. So sometimes when you're listening to stuff that sounds, yeah, it's deceptive. In a trio, you have to sort of try and expand your voice as much as you can to fill the sonic picture out. Well, we do in this one anyway.
Yeah. Although there is a guitarist on it.
There is also a guitarist who was very gracious.
A celebrity guitarist. Tell me how that happened.
Well, we're talking about Alex Lifeson, Ovs. When I was in, when we were touring with Wilson some years ago, I think it was To the Bone tour, or Hank and Erase, Rush did an anniversary release of 2112. And what they did was they floated the notion to their favourite bands and musicians to record the album so everyone would do a section of that album. And Stephen was given the charge of doing Twilight Zone, which was one of the tracks on the B-side of 2112. So during soundcheck, we recorded it and then he mixed it in the dressing room and he sent it to them and they loved it. Then Alex came along to Massey Hall in Canada, in Toronto, which is ironic because that's where they recorded All the World's a Stage, which is one of the albums I used to listen to a lot when I was a kid. And we met him and he was a darling and he hung back and he drank beer with us and we joked and we had photographs taken and we just basically... I'd check in with him from time to time and just see how he's doing. Obviously, it was very sad with Neil and... Gotcha. I was just sending him messages saying, I hope you guys are doing all right, thinking of you. This must be like hell for you. Mm. But then one day I sent him this message and I said, I've got this track, Once Around the Sun With You. I've written it for my wife. And he said, this is amazing. He said, me and my wife are celebrating our anniversary this year, one of our big anniversaries this year. And this song's coming. And he said, it really touched me. It really resonated. And I think he felt a connection. So we were very honoured, to say the very least.
Yeah. Once around the sun with you, bring me back to life. Counting seasons as we go, turning dark to light. Atmospheric conditioning, waved a weary hand, robbed me of the minerals. Time ran out like sand. Once around the sun with you, bringing me back to life. Count the seasons as they go, turn the dark to light. Now that you and I collide, our carnal bodies burn. Fuse the heavy elements to make my life return. Once around the sun with you, bring me back to life. Counting seasons as we go, turning dark to light. Equinox will mark the end of one full circle spent. Constant fascination of each other's love intent. Once around the sun with you, bringing me back to life. Counting seasons as we go, turning dark to light. Man can do so many things, man can go to war. Men can never quantify, desire a quantum love.
Sibling Rivalry was one where it was music first, wasn't it? Tell me how that developed.
Initially, once I got it back from them, I thought this needs to have some sort of narrative over it. So I just came up with this idea, which sparked this duplicitous voices in my head duality. So it was kind of, that was an apotheosis in some ways for the rest of the album.
Yeah, I think so. Did that come from any personal experience?
I've got identical boys.
Right.
And they love each other very much, and they're very strong personalities. But when they were growing up, there was this thing where they were always butting each other's heads, you know, and there was this strange, almost psychic connection they had. Like, one would come in the kitchen and he'd say, could I have a drink of orange? So I'd make a drink of orange, and I'd make two because I knew within 5 minutes the other one would come in and ask for a drink of orange. And there were lots of other things that happened that were kind of psychic and a little bit woo-woo. But I liked the idea of extrapolating that within each one of us, our duplicitousness, the good and the bad, not necessarily the good and bad, but the kind of the yin and the yang within each one of us fighting for supremacy. And then times when you need to be weak, you need the support of the other.
Yeah.
And so there's that going throughout the album. I think that's what... And the new normal after lockdown is that we were all faced with this inner voice.
Yeah.
And the world that we now occupy is quite different in many respects, even though it's very subtle, to the world before. Yeah.
Well, let's hear a bit of Sibling Rivalry. It's one of the ones with your narrative parts, of course. Let's hear a bit of that.
I bet you can even play didgeridoo better than me. Don't be ridiculous. Come on, play the didgeridoo. Well, you first. I've got to have something to challenge me. All right. See? Rubbish. Now you. This is ridiculous.
Is there a sort of like, you know, kind of like evil devil's arrangement that has to be made between the artists that create and the capitalists that sell?
It's very interesting you should say that. I mean, obviously, we don't have Coca-Cola knocking our doors down demanding to sponsor us. And economic power is a type of tyranny. But I remember I'm instantly drawn back to a conversation I had with my bandmates in the Goo during the 80s. Mm. Right. Budweiser wanted to sponsor us and do a commercial, and I refused to do it. I didn't think it was good to be so corporatized, considering we were already seen as completely manufactured. There's moral imperatives, you have to listen to yourself. But, you know, if somebody turned around to me and said, here's $5 million to reform Kajagoogoo, that would be a paradox. Because what would I do? Yeah.
By the same token, I think that musicians are entitled to make a living.
Yes, and it's very difficult to make a living as a musician.
Tell me about Chinese fire drill, please.
Interesting. I think that's my favourite piece on the record.
Right.
If I had to pick one, and I think because it's so disparate, it's so... the guitar in the middle, it's three guitar parts which I'm playing, which are just completely mad. And I loved the thrashy, out of time, badly played, punk kind of, you know, it's not efficient, but it's it's panicked.
How would you like people to consume the Trifecta album? Would you like them to make love to it? Would you like them to stick it in the car? Would you like to sell Budweiser with it?
All right, let's get really detailed on it. I think thigh-length leather boots, and you should be cleaning somebody else's. You don't want to get that. You don't want to get me started. And you'd have. You've got me engine going now. You see, that's what you've done.
trifecta: Beggs, Holtzman, and Blundell. You heard Chinese Fire Drill there, before that Sibling Rivalry, before that Once Around the Sun with You, and before that Stupid Pop Song. The album The New Normal is out on K-Scope right now. My thanks to Begsy for spending some time with me, and like all of the K-Scope acts, you can find out all about Trifecta on the K-Scope website. Have a look at what our bands are up to live. I hope that Trifecta will do some dates. Try and catch some of our artists on stage if you can over the coming months. We've got Gong out there, who have been playing South America recently. We've got Osric Tentacles currently touring in Eastern Europe. And right bang in the middle of their biggest tour ever, Tesseract. We're going to try and catch up with Tesseract for some tour stories as soon as possible. But in the meantime, to celebrate their successful jaunt around the world from the most recent album, Tesseract's War of Being, here is Echoes. Speak to you soon. Ta-da.
And sometimes lost inside.